this was a conflicting weekend for a lot of us. The Brewers, at the end of the day, lost the series. But you feel a lot better taking the finale, having a happy flight to Los Angeles, and getting ready for the best team in baseball again. It kind of feels like a midterm right now. You know, here this has been a weird week. You nailed the multiple choice. You really struggled with the essay. Now you've got like a reading portion here coming up. So this is a big test. Brewers need to bounce back and face the best team in baseball this week. Let's dive into it. Let's talk about a weird weekend, and let's get some good vibes going, okay? Good morning. You're Locked On.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Thank you for being here on Locked On Brewers. I'm Dominic Catronio. This is your only daily podcast dedicated to the Brew Crew all season long. Monday through Friday is when we post episodes. First listen, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Let's be real for right at the jump, though. My schedule is going to be a little bit weird this week. Stay tuned to social media. I believe we're not going to have an episode Wednesday morning is the current plan right now. Still have an episode tomorrow morning. Still have an episode Thursday. Just looks like Wednesday. I don't think I'll have an episode ready for you guys. I'm heading to New York for stats with TBS with Brian Anderson. And that leads me to my qualifications, if you will. I am the statistician for Bally Sports Wisconsin and with TBS. And I'm now the post-game host of Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. So we're all over the place, all right? We were down at Wrigley even, too. And I'll tell this funny story about what happened to me on Saturday at the end of this pod, but it's been a weird weekend. It was good to be at Wrigley, good to see BA and Rock together and see Boog, JD. Joe Girardi was calling games for Marquee. Pat Hughes, everybody was there. It was a fun weekend to be at Chicago. And, of course, as we showed on television, the Aaron Water show was happening. So Blue Angels, Fighter Jets, AC-130, all that. All the fun stuff was happening in Chicago this weekend. And it was especially a fun weekend for the Cubs. Brewers fall 2 out of 3 to Chicago. And they are now just 7-9 from the Brewers' perspective against the Cubs. Meaning, the only way they can win the season series is if they sweep this weekend's set with the Cubs, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's the only way they win the season series. If you would have told me at the start of the year, hey, the Brewers aren't going to win the season series against the Brewers or going to have a really hard time winning the season series against the Cubs, I'd be like, well, did they sign Carlos Correa or something? It just doesn't compute, right? And I see the sentiment on social media of, how the heck does this team fall to the Cubs as often as it has? It's kind of like last year, the Brewers had no answer for the AL Central. Remember where they struggled against the Tigers? They struggled against the Royals. Cleveland was decent. Granted, they threw the no-hitter against Cleveland. They were in a weird flux when they faced them. The White Sox, they won a series against them. But it was such a weird, some teams have your number for no reason at all. And the Brewers, as we said, they're just 7-9 against these Cubs now. You look at elsewhere, they're only 9-7 against the Pirates this season. They're 8-4 against the Reds, which is decent. But it's and so on. They're 4-0 against Tampa Bay. They're 2-1 against Toronto, two playoff teams. They were ice cold against the Padres and the Giants. They were ice cold against the Phillies when they came here, and they lost a close series to the Mets, and they still have them coming up later on the schedule. They split with the Braves. They won a series over the Red Sox. It's just baseball doesn't make sense, and that happens. But the Brewers, to say the least, have not played to their potential. The biggest stat that I pull from this last week and a half of games or so, or 2 weeks really, going back to the Cardinals series, there's a mind-blowing stat here. Brewers finally won a game, 5-2, but they also did not have a hit with a runner in scoring position because they relied on the home run ball. 0-for-3 with runners in scoring position in this game. Then maybe go back a little bit. So going back to that Cardinals series 2 weekends ago, Brewers, Cardinals. Friday night, they went 2-for-5 with runners in scoring position. Saturday night, they didn't get a hit with a runner in scoring position until extras. Then Sunday against the Cardinals, they didn't have a single hit or didn't have a single plate appearance with a runner in scoring position. Then they go 0-for-9 against the Dodgers. You get what I'm saying here. In regulation innings, okay, innings 1-9, with no placed runner on second base, the Brewers have just 4 hits with a runner in scoring position, all 4 hits singles, and over their last 34 at-bats. 4-for-34 in regulation runners in scoring position innings. That's a 117 batting average. When I say they are not playing to their potential, that is what I circle. You don't need to hit a home run every stinking time. And it's been a mix. The Brewers will get a lot of base runners with runners in scoring position, then go 1-for-9. Or they'll do games like yesterday where they score a lot of runs. They scored 5 runs, but it was all via homer, and thus runners in scoring position took the back seat on it. The Brewers didn't have an extra base hit in this game aside from the home runs. This is a team that gets its A swing off plenty of the time, but it's just shocking to see how poor they are with runners in scoring position as of late. And we talked about it at the midseason point, heading into the All-Star break, that the numbers were jarring and that the Brewers actually don't perform all that bad with runners in scoring position. They do damage. They do draw a lot of walks and things of that nature. They get on base. They extend rallies. But they also don't give themselves many opportunities with runners in scoring position. Up to the second, looking at the National League rankings, the Brewers' batting average with runners in scoring position is .251. That is currently ninth best in the National League. The best team is, ironically, the Reds at .279. But .251 is the batting average. When you look at the OPS, they lead. .808 OPS with runners in scoring position. That has to do with the on-base percentage. That has to do with the home runs that they hit. They've hit the most home runs in the National League, or second most home runs in the National League with a runner in scoring position. And furthermore, they have drawn the fifth most walks with runners in scoring position. So that's where the OPS gets skewed in that regard. But the stat, when we dive deeper into it, you can look at at-bats with a runner in scoring position, but we have to go deeper than that because at-bats, walks don't count toward at-bats. They take them away. So you have to look at actual plate appearances. That's where it gets glaring. The Brewers have the sixth fewest plate appearances with the runner in scoring position in all of baseball. Oakland is last. Detroit is 29th. Pittsburgh is 28th. The Angels are 27th. The Reds are 26th. And then there are the Milwaukee Brewers, 25th. Do you notice something in common about all those teams behind them? They're under 500. That's shocking to me. That, granted, Philly is right ahead of them, only a handful of plate appearances ahead of the Brewers, more than them with runners in scoring position. They're also a team that's better than what their roster says they are and what their record says they are, but haven't performed like they're supposed to. When I say there is potential and sustainable offense for the Brewers, you need to provide with runners in scoring position. If you pop a few homers, that's phenomenal. You can save that, bottle it up for the when their situation calls for it. And what happens when you're not able to get consistent plate appearances or consistent production with runners in scoring position? We see teams pressing and making mistakes, like Andrew McCutchen stealing on a 3-0 pitch to be caught and then a home run to be hit on the very next pitch. Or trying to put out a hit and run with Andrew McCutchen at the plate and Christian Yelich on first, when in reality, if McCutchen just dumps a single in the right field without the hit and run, Yelich is probably going first to third because of his speed. Or if McCutchen lines a double into the gap or even down the lines, Yelich's speed is probably going to score him too. The Brewers have had to press and had to make, you know, critical errors that, with that stolen base, it granted didn't bite them, obviously, but errors that you feel like are just pressure errors. They have been playing so much tight baseball as of late that this weekend is a perfect example of it. They go back and forth on Friday, end up losing on a home run, and then they didn't score for the final 3 innings against the Cubs bullpen. Then you look at Saturday. They were ice cold for the entire game, hat tip to Marcus Stroman. Willy Adames gets the Brewers off the deck, but the razor-thin edge that Devin Williams had to walk, it was only the third time since the 30-scoreless streak started back in May that Devin has had multiple walks in an inning. He had 3 walks on Saturday. He was due for a clunker. He got a clunker. He's better than that. He knows that. He didn't execute, and the Cubs also laid off of his fastball and his changeup. They were extremely patient with him. But when you're riding this razor-thin edge over and over and over again, mistakes are going to be made. So the Brewers need to clean that up moving forward, finding ways to produce with runners in scoring position, and make sure that the offense can find other valves and other means to score as opposed to just relying on the home run. Okay, soapbox rants at the very beginning. I don't like doing those, but I just wanted to express what I've been seeing and what I've been seeing on social media. There is a way for this team to make the playoffs. I do believe they have the talent to make the playoffs. World Series, that's another discussion. But for the time being, the Brewers are right there, two games out, essentially, of the Phillies for the last wild card spot. Because it's technically 1.5, but because of this tiebreaker, yada, yada, you get the picture. The Brewers have an opportunity before them, starting this week, even including against the Dodgers, to get things going in the right direction. I believe they can do it. We're going to break things down and why I think they can do it and talk about this game yesterday as well. Keston Hira, man, what a day for you. Shout out to you. Before we do that, if you want to put your money where your mouth is, talk about, hey, Dom, you think they're going to make the playoffs? What does BetOnline think? Yeah, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. You can find your favorite sporting events. You can find fights from the weekend. I'm not a massive UFC guy, but I told there was a massive fight this weekend. Cool. I saw the crazy knockout. Cool things happened. But for the Brewers, they need to make sure they stick around on BetOnline to see how they're doing against these Dodgers. Like, I'm just trying to pull it up right now to see how they're going to fare this week, according to BetOnline, against Los Angeles. It's going to be the virtually same pitching rotation coming up this week, as we saw this last week out at American Family Field. But the looking at tomorrow's or today's game, Brewers are being gifted 1.5 runs with Eric Lauer on the mound. The over-under is set at 8. I like over on that. I think the Brewers are due to keep breaking out the bats on this one. Anyway, you can find all of that at betonline.net, where the game starts. Brewers win 5-2. They salvage the finale. We already talked about the crazy play with Rowdy Tellez hitting a home run right after Andrew McCutchen tries to steal a base and was thrown out. But I want to go back to the first inning. And it's not how you start, it's how you finish. The Brewers were struck out by Justin Steele in order. 1-2-3, strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. And in the bottom of the first inning, yes, the Cubs only got one run, but they made Brandon Woodruff throw 36 pitches. If you told me at the start of this game, hey, Woodruff's going to work into the sixth, and the Brewers are going to be right in it, I'd be like, what? The way this started? No way. What a performance by Brandon Woodruff. Honestly, I know it's not the dazzling type performance you come to hope with Brandon Woodruff, and he's been dynamite since coming off the injured list. But that might have been his most important start of the year because the bullpen was gassed. We learned after the game that Matt Bush and Devin Williams were not available in this game. Matt Bush, because he had pitched in 5 of the last 8 games. Devin, 37 pitches on Saturday in the blown save. So two of your best high-leverage guys are out. Taylor Rogers came in and got his first save as a Brewer. Congratulations to him. More on him in a little bit. But for imagine Craig Counsell on his 52nd birthday yesterday having to go up to Woodruff. Hey, can you give me 6 today? Can you give me 70? Oh, Skip, I got you. You know, in his Southern Mississippi draw. The reaction that I'm sure Craig Counsell was thinking internally, seeing 36 pitches in the first inning when he needs length out of his starter with a down bullpen, he's thinking, this is what you've given me? This is my birthday gift? And another close game, too? Kudos to Brandon Woodruff for identifying, and maybe this was Chris Hook, too. Remember, after that mound visit in the first inning, we saw the repertoire switch back after the home run and the base hit. A lot more breaking balls after that first inning. He was not getting swings and misses on the fastball the first time through against these Cubs. He ended up with 5 strikeouts, 2 walks, 2 solo homers against them, which has been a theme lately. But Brandon Woodruff did his job, especially given the way that this game started. That was huge praise for him. But the Brewers were trailing 2-0 through 4 innings. Home runs by Ian Happ and Seiya Suzuki. Seiya Suzuki, he's now only hit 10 homers this year. Remember, he dealt with a finger for a majority of the season, so he's missed a lot of time. 4 of his 10 homers have come against the Brewers. So O'Neill Cruz with the Pirates. Now this guy, Seiya Suzuki with the Cubs. What do the Brewers got to do to get these rookies out, man? This is crazy. So they're down 2-0. Rowdy hits the solo homer. They go to a pitching change. And Keston Hira got the start against a lefty. We've talked about it ad nauseum on this show. If this is your first time hearing, Keston Hira has reverse splits. They showed it on Bally Sports Wisconsin. I wonder who had the idea to put that on the show. Anyway, the Brewers had an opportunity to say, look, Keston, they brought in the lefty. You don't hit lefties very well. We need to go to our bench. We need to figure out something here. Maybe we'll pinch hit Caratini early or pinch hit Jonathan Davis here, something like that, because it was the DH spot. They said, you know what? We're going to stick with you, Keston. Just got a run on the board. We're feeling good. Keston, you got the start against the lefty. You're going to get this new reliever lefty. Boom! Home run. It clicks, finally, for him. Solo shot, ties the game at two. Great moment for him. And what Keston said postgame really surprised me, or not surprised me, but rather inspired me, in that he noticed how Justin Steele was trying to get him out. He understood what Justin was doing, what lefties have been doing as of late against him to get him out. He's hitting under 200 against lefties for his career. Okay, this is a known thing. So known that David Ross on the other side went to get a lefty despite a righty up in the bullpen. And more on David Ross's decision in a little bit in this seventh inning. And Keston identified what he thought the pitcher would be doing to him. And on the second pitch from Brandon Hughes, boom, we got a tie game. Eighth inning, Willy Adames steps to the plate. Mr. Clutch, sacrifice fly, did exactly what the situation asked for. Elevate the ball out of the infield. It scores the go-ahead run. And then for good measure, Keston Hira, a two-run homer in the ninth inning. This one off of a righty, a blast. According to StatCast, it went 454 feet. I'm going to have a rant about StatCast in a little bit here too. But Keston, man, he needed that. His second career multi-homer game. You hope for more playing time for him. Adam McAlvey kind of pressed on Craig Counsell after the game, saying, how do you find more playing time for Keston? Because it seems like every time you've put him in a tough spot, he's been able to find a way to come through it. And his swing adjustments lately have really helped him out. Keston, in this game, he struck out once. He hit the ball hard all three times up at the plate. He hit the ball hard all weekend, too, even coming off the bench. And Counsell wouldn't go so far as guaranteeing playing time, but just saying we need to find a way to keep his bat in the lineup. It just stinks that the guys that he's batting around are also hot in that, or in stretches that they need to keep playing, like Rowdy, like Renfro, like McCutchen. What do you do with Keston? And his defense is what's going to hold him back of how he gets into the lineup. If Kutch is being DH, Keston would have to play second, and he'll have to start against a lefty, which is the reverse splits, because Colton would be having the day off. And remember, Jace Peterson's on his way back. We're going to have an update on him coming up this week up in Appleton. He's starting a rehab assignment tomorrow, 3 days with the Timber Rattlers. So that's going to get things even more crowded for him, too. They need to find a way to keep Keston in this order. If he's not starting today after what he did against a lefty yesterday, Julio Urias is on the mound, but just give Keston the shot. And he's going back home. Southern California kid. That should be fun for him, too. Okay? That was my little Keston rant. I want to talk about David Ross's decisions here, and we're going to wrap up a quick episode and talk about the whole weekend that was, but just real quick, David Ross, Justin Steele was rolling, man, absolutely rolling. The Brewers going into yesterday were just 18-19 against left-handed starters. They were just 2-for-19 against Steele with 9 strikeouts. He almost had a strikeout on every single batter in the game 2 times through the order. Almost, he didn't. But 8 of the 9 batters had a strikeout against him 2 times through the order. That is elite, nasty stuff. Kudos to you, Justin Steele. You had a great game, and it was pulled too soon. You look at Saturday. He left Marcus Stroman in for 1 batter too long to face Christian Yelich. He gets a base hit. He brings in Rowan Wick to face Willy Adames, who falls behind 3-1 and makes him pay with a home run. Yelich got the inning going, or kept the inning going, and then Willy sets the tone for the home run. Obviously, the Cubs won the game on Saturday, but the point is that Ross probably left his starter in 1 batter too long. So here, he took his starter out maybe 1 inning too soon. He has thrown over 90 pitches many, many times this season, has Justin Steele. So in this game, Steele only threw a total of 89 pitches. He has thrown 108, 102, 100, 96, 94, 94, 93, 90, 90, 90. Like, thank you, David Ross. I'm going to write you a thank you note. What I mean, the Brewers have no answer against lefties. Their entire bench in this game yesterday was practically lefties. You had Narvaez on the bench. You had Yelich on the bench. And you had Wong on the bench. And Jonathan Davis, your lone righty, on the bench. So that's 3 guys that are not going to be used as a pinch hitter if you keep the lefty in there. But instead, not only does he switch to a righty for the stretch of order that he had with Renfro and Kutch and everybody. So Kutch leads off with a single. And obviously with the 3-batter minimum rule, it gets a little tougher for Mark Leiter Jr. But Kutch leads off as a single. Renfro lines out. But the way I look at it is if Steele can get through McCutchen and Renfro again, he gets Rowdy, left on left, Keston reverse splits, and then a slumping Luis Urias if the inning were to continue that far, even get those guys in the eighth inning. Thanks, David Ross. We'll take it. To be fair, the Cubs bullpen was really good on Friday. they weren't so good in this game. You give any team multiple opportunities to see guys, they're going to have more success. They're going to have more opportunities for success, especially coming out of a bullpen in some high-stress games. Quick little rant. Let's move on. Let's talk about things standings-wise, get you ready for the Dodgers series, and also tell you what I had to deal with the trains this weekend. More on that in a second. Brewers will have Eric Lauer on the mound tonight, going up against Julio Urias, a pair of southpaws in this contest. Central time, 9:10 first pitch, so get yourself a nap, get yourself some coffee. 9:10 tonight, 9:10 tomorrow, and then they're graciously moving the first pitch up to 8 o'clock Central time on Wednesday ahead of the getaway day and the off day on Thursday. The Brewers, they're going to have their hands full. The Dodgers are a good team, and this is a series. Look, you split, and you felt great last week. There's not going to be a split this time. There's going to be a winner or a loser. And we talked about in this 13-game stretch, if the Brewers can find a way to go 6-7, you would take it. And right now, unexpectedly, and maybe in the reverse fashion, with a split against the Dodgers and a series loss against the Cubs, they're currently 3-4, so kind of on pace for that. If you can win this series against the Dodgers and come back home and do what you're supposed to do against the Cubs, if you go 2-1, that results in a 7-6 13-game stretch. It's laid out in front of the Brewers. They have an opportunity to get back on track because after this series, they finally get a breather in the schedule. And I can hear you say, Dom, they have not played well against the Cubs. You're right, Dom. They have not played well against the Pirates. You're right, but they're supposed to be better than them. They're supposed to be. If they can get some mojo, if they can get some momentum, this is where the season turns, or it's supposed to turn. So Dodgers this week, Cubs this weekend, Pirates next week. Then you go to Arizona for 4 games. You go to Colorado for 3 games. Always tough to pitch in Colorado. Back home for a doubleheader against the Giants. Home for 3 against the Reds. Quick two-hitter down in St. Louis for 2 with the Cardinals. And then you come back for the gauntlet. Back-to-back series with the New York teams, Yankees and Mets. Granted, the Yankees have been a 500 team since June. They got off to the great start. They have really, really cooled off since. Mets will be tough. So here, for the next just under a month, today is August 22nd. This stretch goes until Wednesday, September 21st. The ends with this gauntlet of Cardinals, Yankees, Mets. From now and then, what can the Brewers do to salvage their season? All you can do is win. If the Cardinals fall apart, if the Padres or the Phillies fall apart, you can't control that. You can control how many games you win. And that is the only precedent, prerequisite that the Brewers have to try to make the playoffs. Just win. I don't care if they win by 1. I don't care if they win by 10. The Brewers' only game plan is to win. That's it. That is all that matters. The Brewers are currently a game and a half back of the Phillies, I beg your pardon, and the Padres are now a half game up on the Phillies. The records as they stand right now. Milwaukee, 64-56. Philadelphia, 66-55. So they actually have, the Brewers actually have 1 game in hand against Philadelphia. San Diego, 68-56, excuse me. So the Brewers actually have 4 games in hand against the Padres. So that could actually tighten up a lot faster than you may expect. For Milwaukee to make the postseason, because they're still 5 games back at the Cardinals, it's just going to take wins. It just sounds so simple by that. But Philly, they took a big blow yesterday. Corey Knebel's out for the year. Old friend Corey Knebel, he's done for the season with the shoulder. That's one of their main closers. They can hit. The back end of the bullpen has always been an issue the last couple of seasons for Philly. San Diego, Josh Bell woke up yesterday. Juan Soto's been playing well as well. But who knows what they got going on in the back end of their bullpen with Josh Hader. Are you sensing a theme here with former Brewer closers, by the way? But the Brewers, I can just sit here and just say, just win. I don't have a crystal ball. We got a little more than a month left of the season. It's real. This is it. You can't say, oh, there's a lot of baseball left forever. But it's almost September. It's almost really just, yeah, there's really not a lot of baseball left. You got to wake up and go. And if you really want to talk about it, when you look ahead, Thursday is an off day for the Brewers. They don't even have that many off days remaining, as we've talked about plenty of times. This is the 31 games in 31 days stretch. It's part of 18 straight games within 17 days coming up as well. So the Brewers have an off day Thursday. They'll have another off day coming up. Their next off day won't be until September. September 12th, September 15th, September 26th. Four more off days. It's going to be over in the blink of an eye. It's almost there. It is very real. The Brewers have the Dodger killer going tonight, and they've got Corbin Burns and Tony Gonsolin going tomorrow. Whew, get your popcorn ready for that one. That one's going to be awesome tomorrow night. Might want to stay up for that one. And then finally, Andrew Heaney for the Dodgers on Wednesday, and then Aaron Ashby going for the Brew Crew to finish up that series. Quick, funny train story as we wrap up this episode. Saturday was at Wrigley. I didn't stay. I just took the train, took the Amtrak. Shout out to the Hiawatha line. You know it probably. The Brewers, we knew there was going to be rain in the forecast, and I'm like, well, the latest train is 8 o'clock, and yeah, they won't make us wait around all day, right? And that's, I mean, shoot, we should have started the game right on time, if you ask me. I didn't think it was a heavy enough rain to not start the game. I digress. About a 50-minute rain delay. Okay, we're fine. No big deal. No big deal at all. Then Willie hits the home run. We're like, all right, this game's going to be over. Wrap this up. I'm going to make this train no problem at all. And then the bottom of the ninth happens. I'm like, ah. And I had the post-game show this week. And so I'm like, all right, maybe it'll be over in the 10th or whatever. Whatever happens, happens. It's not over in the 10th. Oh, boy. Okay, now I'm looking at the clock. I'm supposed to have about a 45-ish hour-long post-game. So I'm like, gosh, how am I going to swing this? It's 5:30. My train's at 8. I'm at Wrigley Field. There's going to be traffic. Like, and I got an hour post-game, and we're heading to the top of the 11th inning right now. I am sweating bullets, and I'm going to miss this train. I would have found a way, obviously, to stay the night or something, but I am sweating bullets. And I just look over to Lane Grindle and Jeff Levering on the radio side. As soon as the game ended, I just kind of looked at my clock, looked at my watch, looked at Lane. I texted him, hey, man, I got a train at 8 o'clock. I got to be out of here by 7:15 to make it in the Lyft because there's going to be traffic. There's always traffic in Chicago. Shout out to Lane. He got it to me so quick. Quick little post game. Granted, nobody really wanted to talk about that post game anyway. Not much participation on Saturday on the talking text line. But I was sweating bullets. Walked into Union Station at 7:50 for an 8:05 train, which is a lot closer than I want in Chicago. I will do that here in Milwaukee, no problem. But you just never know with one accident, with one train anyway. It was a crazy weekend. I loved going to Wrigley. Working at the Wrigley booth, as you may have heard BA and Rock talk about, it is a very, very, very small booth. We had fun. We made it work. It's always a pleasure to head down to Chi-Town. That's it for this episode. We'll be back here tomorrow with another episode. Again, no episode coming Wednesday morning, just to keep that in your thoughts as we plan out our week here. Brewers, it's all out in front of them now. Just win, baby. I think a football coach used to say that a long time ago. My name's Dominic Catronio. Thank you for listening. Thanks for listening to my ramblings and my rants on my soapbox. I believe the Brewers have a chance to make the postseason. I truly believe they have the talent to make the postseason. It's about execution. As I tweeted over the weekend, it's all about execution and getting the job done. It's simple, but the Brewers, I believe, have the talent to do it. All right? Let's be positive. Good vibes. Have a great Monday, everybody. Thank you for listening, and keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.